This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Happy Labor Day, everyone. No, I am not DiPietro, Canty, or even Rothenberg. I am Gordon Damer, filling in for the three guys today. Hopefully, you're having a safe and relaxing Labor Day. Lots of stuff to do. Next 2.5 hours, I'll be with you up until 12:30. And you know, it's Labor Day, a sign that the summer has come to an end. A summer, I think we'd all have to agree, unlike any other summer we've ever had, right? Kids maybe getting ready to get back to school. Parents maybe getting ready to be teachers again. I know I'm not ready for that. I wasn't ready the first time. And let me tell you something. I did nothing to prepare over the summer to be ready this time. But hopefully you and yours are having a nice, relaxing Labor Day. Tranquil. You know what I'm saying? Taking a day to kind of unwind. Maybe loosen up. Slow down. De-stress. Take it easy. You know what I mean? Put your feet up. Kick back. Calm down. Hang loose. Stay loose. Get loose. However, whatever form of loose you want to be, do that. And if you need a role model for what you should be like today about just, you know, sitting back, waiting, opportunities that come and never go. Yeah, it's where we're going to start today, is with the New York Yankees. Because if you ever wanted a picture in your mind of what tranquil looked like, simply watch them. They're baseball's version of NyQuil. No sense of urgency there. Just take it easy. No fire. Where's the fire? No need to get upset. Scoring runs? It would be nice. Not a high priority. Let's just sit back and rest up. And that is basically what the Yankees have done here for the last, 3 weeks? Which in this point, at 2020, with the baseball season being what it is, 3 weeks is like the season. So yesterday, another loss to the Orioles. The Baltimore Orioles. 5-1. So the Yankees have lost 3 of 4 to the Orioles. The Baltimore Orioles. That after losing 2 of 3 to the Rays. Thank God the Mets gave them those 3 games. Otherwise, I mean, could you imagine where they'd be? What's the level of panic? I always get this wrong. Is it DEFCON 1 or DEFCON 5? Whatever the highest DEFCON is, that's where the Yankee fan level of panic is right now. And if they had lost those 3 games, which they easily could have, right? It would be even higher. They might have to come up with a new DEFCON. DEFCON 0 or DEFCON 6. Again, I'm not sure. But the numbers, oh my God, the numbers are dizzying. And while I say to be tranquil and relax, I'm talking about how the Yankees are performing. I'm not saying how you perform while you're watching the Yankees. Because if you ever needed something to get you aggravated, to get you fired up, to get you throwing stuff at the television screen, well, then that would be what you would, I mean, that's the remedy. That's the perfect antidote right there to get you all worked up. Because they're not worked up. They say they're worked up. It doesn't really seem that way, though. 22 for their last 118 with runners in scoring position. KT Sharp, 1 for the last 25, the Yankees are, with runners in scoring position. That 22 for 118 works out to be 186. And let's be honest, the 118, it's not like they have opportunities every single inning. A lot of innings come and go, and they're already over before you even sat down. I think it's fair to say, and it's not even a stretch to say, this is the worst this team has played under Aaron Boone. You know, they had a bad stretch last year in June where they lost like 8 to 11 or 9 to 12 or something like that. And then 2 years ago, they had the slow start where they were 9 and 9 and people were freaking out. This is by far the worst they have played in a very, very long time, and certainly the worst they've played under Aaron Boone. But we'll get to him in a minute. But yesterday, first inning, right? Everything's going down. Everything's going wrong. It just seems like you can't get anything going in the right direction. But, you know, the beauty of baseball is every day, right? Basically, you play every day. Sometimes the Yankees play 2 games every day. But you play every day. So you get to put the badness behind you of the day before, fresh start. Every day you get a fresh start. All right, let's get back to fresh start. It's like starting a diet every Monday, right? After the weekend, I'll get started after the weekend. And then Monday comes and by 10 o'clock, you're eating a bagel with cream cheese. So yesterday, They give up two runs in the very first inning, and the Orioles have a 2-0 lead. And with the way the Yankee offense is performing right now, a 2-0 lead is an insurmountable lead. As soon as you're down 2-0, you're like, oh my God, how are we going to get two runs in the same game? And while the Yankees have lots of problems right now, and over the next 2.5 hours, I think we'd like to be able to hit on most of them, if not all of them. It's only 2.5 hours. I don't know if we'll be able to get to all of them. We have other things to discuss, too, at 1-800-919-ESPN. But when you're running down the problems, the first thing, first and foremost thing, is the offense. They've got lots of problems, but that one is the biggest. They don't score runs. And they don't score runs. It's not a mystery. Like in years past, when they wouldn't get the big hit with runners in scoring position, right? You'd say to yourself, how can it be every single time? They get guys on base, they have guys sitting there, and nobody can get the big hit. That is puzzling, because generally, well, not this year, maybe not even last year, but in the past, they've had good guys at the plate trying to come through with the big hit. That has not been the problem this year. They just simply have too many guys in the lineup on a regular basis who are completely non-factors. Running down the Yankee lineup is like, you remember when Dean Wormer ran down Delta House's grades in Animal House? Each guy was worse than the guy before? That's like the Yankee lineup. There's a couple of guys who are exempt. DJ LeMahieu, obviously exempt. Luke Voit, although he's struggling right now, he's exempt. Clint Frazier, exempt. But the rest of them, oh my God. All you need to know is that yesterday, for some reason, I need somebody. Look, I try to be open to analytics. I try to be open to new lines of thinking. I like to not just get stuck in the way that I think and always think that way. I'm open to argument. But I would need to have whatever analytical mind, the great Bill James, I don't know, somebody from NASA, to explain to me. Does NASA do baseball? Do they do DEF CONs? Can they explain that? Doesn't matter. I need someone to explain to me how Brett Gardner is batting third. I realize the Yankees have a lot of injuries. I realize the guys that are, you know, in there on a regular, not many of them are doing very well. And at this point, they're all kind of doing the same thing. So somebody's got to bat third, right? You can't just say, you know what? We'll take an out there. Somebody's got to bat third. But I need someone to explain it to me. How is Brett Gardner batting third? I don't care how many guys are hurt. Brett Gardner, his slash line this year, he's hitting 180. As if that was not bad enough, the other numbers are not that good. They're terrible. His slash line, batting average 180, on base 308, and his slugging is 320. His slugging is 326. And he's batting third. I know that teams now, you know, this is, again, open to new lines of thinking. Put your best hitter second instead of third. The guy who's hitting third should still be pretty good. But, of course, Gardner's not the only problem. I mean, again, how long do you got? Mike Ford. He of the 141, 225, 282. That's his slash line. His slugging would be a nice batting average. And I get it. Batting average is not generally a team that stats rely on anymore, certainly not as much as they used to. Problem is, all the other numbers are even worse. Mike Ford, who has been playing pretty regularly because of the injuries, has three hits since the Red Sox series. The Red Sox series was in the middle of August. He's got three hits since then. He has one RBI. He hit fifth. He's hitting fifth. Mike Tauchman, come on down. I mean, he was a real find last year. Of all the guys last year on the, you know, the next man up list, he seemed like, oh my God, the Yankees really found something with this guy, Mike Tauchman. He put up an OPS, an on-base plus slugging of 865 last year. I mean, he was a really good player. This year, apparently he can't hit. He has zero power. I mean, he still walks, but you know, you like to mix in an extra base hit every once in a while. His slugging is 300. He's not hitting 300. He's slugging 300. Tyler Wade, Tyro Estrada. Again, non-factors. Automatic outs. And that's the big thing that has happened this year that, you know, that did not happen last year. Yes, guys have continued to get hurt, but last year, for whatever reason, the guys who filled in, more times than not, stepped up and really put up big performances last year. Those guys, you know, the guys last year, maybe not Wade and Estrada, but certainly Ford and Tauchman. Brett Gardner had a career year last year. And then, of course, there's Gary Sanchez. Now, Gary Sanchez is not alone. But he is unique in that of the previous guys that I mentioned. They're on the team. They're guys that you hope will contribute. But they're not foundational pieces of the team. Gary Sanchez is supposed to be one of the guys you are counting on instead of just counting the strikeouts. Now, I've been a Yankee fan for, I guess, a long time now. You know, grew up in the late 70s. You know, really was it day in, day out Yankee fan since the 80s. Down times, good times, bad times. My point is, I've been watching them for 40 years. And I got to say, off the top of my head, I can't imagine there's a more frustrating player to watch than Gary Sanchez. I mean, the numbers are so ugly. I mean, they're so graphic. I feel like they should come with a warning. I'm not even sure if they're safe for the radio. If you're driving in the car with your child, give them the earmuffs. Shield the child's ears just not to scar them for life. Gary Sanchez has got to be the worst regular player in the majors. I mean, it's unbelievable. He's had 100 at-bats this year, which is not a lot, but it's not nothing. He has struck out 48 times. So basically, I'm not Bill James, but I can figure out 48 strikeouts and 100 at-bats. That's basically every other at-bat you're striking out. Just about half the at-bats he has ended in a strikeout. That's more than a tweak. That's more than give him a day off and hope he breaks out of it. That's, you know, that seems like it needs some pretty fundamental changes. Because Gary Sanchez right now is not a Major League Baseball player. I mean, he is terrible. Like, sticking with the Animal House comparison, he would be Mr. Blutowski. Like, when you get to the bottom, 0.0. And you keep waiting. Yankee fans have been conditioned to keep waiting for Gary Sanchez to break out of it. And I got to be honest, I think I'm going to the other side now, or I don't ever expect him to snap out of it. But yet, they're dwindling in number, I'll grant you that. But there's still those Yankee fans out there who have been conditioned, well, you know, he hits the home run against the Mets. He'll hit a home run every once in a while, and the ball will go, you know, 450 feet. And you think to yourself, all right, there you go. Fresh start. Snap it out of it. And there's Yankee fan, oh, see, Gary was tired of you running him down. Well, you know what? Run him down. What am I supposed to do? He's hitting 130. And again, batting average is not the be-all, end-all, but it's something. It's not nothing. You'd like, you know, maybe mix in a base hit every once in a while. You know, it's great that he's, according to Aaron Boone, blocking the pitches and pitch framing. Can I mix in a base hit every once in a while? Again, I've been a Yankee fan for 40 years. I've seen some bad catchers. I remember Bob Guerin was terrible. Joel Skinner is the touchstone, the guy that you always go to when you're talking about bad Yankee catchers. Gary Sanchez has been worse. He's been worse. 130, 237, 350, and 48 strikeouts and 100 at-bats. And I think he also leads the league in hairs pulled out of my head. So that brings us to the manager. And I got to be honest with you, as a Yankee fan, not that I shy away from criticizing Aaron Boone, but I'm not exactly sure what to criticize him for on a day-in and day-out basis, because I don't know on a day-in and day-out basis what's his decision and what's not. You know, the front office, I think one of the reasons that they liked Aaron Boone was not just about his temperament, but that he was open to collaboration, right? So the front office is going to be able to have a hand in the day-to-day decisions that's going on in the field. I can't imagine that it's Aaron Boone's decision to bat Brett Gardner third, although I don't know, or keep playing Sanchez, or to bring in Luis. The bullpen is rested, It's a one-run game. Who are we going to? Give me Sessa. I mean, I can't. Again, it's very difficult for me to know what exactly are his decisions and what not. But I think the one area that is abundantly fair to criticize Aaron Boone is that when he was hired, he was supposed to be hired in part because he had the right temperament, right? He was going to connect with guys about his attitude. You know, Joe Girardi had this, you know, win at all costs, grind it out, and he wore guys down. But I thought that part of Aaron Boone's personality, his connection with the guys, was he was going to be able to unlock the unlimited potential of Gary Sanchez, right? Bring out the best. Clearly has talent, clearly has shown in the majors. This is not like some prospect who came up who was highly touted and then just came up here and just continued to fail over and over and over. No, we have seen at times, and even if he's not, maybe that first season was not the jumping off point, right? When you have a big first season like Gary Sanchez had, what was that, 2016? You think, oh my God, the sky's the limit. If he's able to do this first year, imagine what he'll be able to do 5 years from now. Well, I don't think that any of us thought in 2016 that when we got to 2020, this is the world we would be living in, and it certainly is not the Gary Sanchez that we envisioned. Forget about unleashing the Kraken. Again, just mix in a base hit every once in a while. And for Aaron Boone, you know, his time here with the Yankees, playoffs notwithstanding, has been fairly fine. You know, they won 100 games the last couple of years, overcame a boatload of injuries last year. But I do think that, you know, with this temperament about always being on the guy's side and not, you know, being critical publicly, and we don't know what goes on behind the scenes, but never run guys down publicly. Every once in a while, I think that you have to get mad, right? Like, how do you not get mad when you're watching this day in and day out? So I don't think that anybody is going to make judgments based only on this season. And I get it. The problems are the injuries continue to happen, and the guys who are filling in this year are not nearly as productive as they were last year. But I do think that it's on the Yankee manager to try to find a new approach here to get guys motivated and pointed in the right direction, because those guys, I mean, Glaber was back, but Stanton doesn't seem like he's coming back anytime soon. Judge doesn't seem like he's coming back anytime soon. So this is it. These are the guys. And you got to figure out a way to move forward with the guys that you have available. It's been a very easy job in the regular season for Aaron Boone here the last couple of years. And this year, this is a real crisis point on 2020. And it's time to get things pointed in the right direction. Anytime you lose 3 or 4 to the Orioles, I think that that's time. You know what? We got to get a fresh start. And I don't know if that fresh start is coming. I mean, they're still in fine shape. You know, I'm not going to say they're definitely missing the playoffs. I mean, they'd have to be worse than the Orioles and the Tigers, but they were just worse against the Orioles this weekend. So maybe that lock that I thought that they were and always have been this year, maybe they're starting to get some little cracks in that lock. And hopefully you're having a wonderful Labor Day. Before we go to the phones, 1-800-919-ESPN, let me remind you, the Islanders, right? We all need something good to happen in our lives. And my Islanders are back in action tonight. Game one. Eastern Conference Finals against the Lightning. Our coverage, 7:30, right here on 98.7 FM, ESPN New York. So we'll see if the Islanders can keep it going. And people have been saying, wait a second, you're an Islander fan? Well, let me tell you, buddy, I go way back with this team. I go all the way back to the restart. What was that, August? It's a couple of months now. 2020, 2 months is like dog year. So Islanders Lightning, game one, 7:30 tonight, right here on 98.7 FM, ESPN New York. And I've somebody tweeted me, DEFCON 1 is the bad DEFCON. DEFCON 5 is fine. DEFCON 1, maximum readiness, all forces ready for combat. I don't know if the Yankees are, the situation, I would say, yeah, probably not a DEFCON 1 yet, because, again, you're talking about the Orioles and you're talking about the Tigers, and both of those teams are under 500. But I'm not saying you have to hit the panic button, but I think you should probably search out where it is. You know what I mean? Like, where is this in the house? Oh, we got to find that. Find where the panic button is, because another week of this and you might have to hit it. That's all I'm saying. All right, let's get some phone calls in. 1-800-919-ESPN. Let's start off with Charlie is in Woodside. Charlie, what's going on, my friend?
Good morning, Gordon. How are you?
not great.
Oh, certainly I'm not great. Over the weekend, well, the last two weeks, it's a painful watch for this Yankee team playing this garbage baseball. Fundamentals, not hitting, bad pitching, situational, bullpen pitching, et cetera, everything. And over this weekend, Gordon, I'll say, I got ripped by Mr. Rothenberg for not watching the game because I was stressed out. I couldn't watch this team. And instead, I watched a movie. In the second after they won the first game with a doubleheader, I didn't watch the second game because it was a stressful watch. And even I watched Saturday, Sunday. I turned it off after one day, like down like five runs or something because this team's not coming back. That's my expectation now. I mean, this team has so many automatic outs. Like Gary Sanchez, I saw the stats. He's 1-for-20 runners in scoring. That's insane. I could put you at the plate. You could run into 2 or 3 hits with runners in scoring. It's embarrassing. Tyler Wade's not a major league ball player. I mean, walking like he's a good major league hitter. He's not. He stinks. Tyler Estrada can't hit a barn. I mean, Brett Gardner, I mean, if he wants to play Major League Baseball next year, yeah, he's not bringing back. He's going to start hitting, but he stinks.
He's the third hitter. You got to bring him back next year, Charlie. I mean, he's batting third in the lineup. Come on, that's the guy you want.
And Gordon, I don't know, man. I think this team got a little too early. You got this team's not better than the Blue Jays. And until I see it to believe it, this team will miss the playoffs, and that will be an absolute indictment to the fan base and to everybody. Because the way this team playing, the bottom line, they're missing the playoffs. Until I see it to believe it, they will miss the playoffs.
All right, Charlie. Let me. We said it was going to be a therapy session, so let me talk you off the ledge. And thank you for the call, Charlie. But the good news, there's good news. Yeah, are we sure about that? Apparently, they're telling me in my ear there's good news. No, even now, even as bad as things seem right now, and they seem terrible. Again, we ran it down in that opening segment. The lineup is a disaster. And we didn't even touch on the other areas of the team. That was simply the lineup. They are still in, I'm not going to say a lock, but they are in excellent position even now to make the playoffs. Now, if they don't win any right, if they're going to go the next 20 games by losing 14 of them, okay, fine. Yes, that's a sign that you have to improve from where you are. But to miss the playoffs, you would have to fall below either the Tigers or the Orioles. Even now, even as bad as things seem right now, they still have playoff odds of 91%. Now, they do need things to change. They need a lot of things to change. And it's hard to believe, even if they were to make the playoffs, they need so many things to basically flip a switch on that it's hard to see them making any noise when they get there. I mean, they got to get healthy. Maybe even more importantly, they got to stay healthy. They got to find out a lineup that can actually put some runs on the board. The bullpen needs to be better. The decisions in game need to be better. They're starting rotation questions. There's a lot of things that you can't change, right? Like the health of Judge and Stanton and these guys. It looks like you're going to get Urshela back before too long. I think the two things that I would say that you have to do from this point, like if you're looking for solutions, right? It's all well and good to point out all these problems. What solutions do you have? Well, A, I think we can all be on board here. The Yankees got to stop with the rest. I mean, they rest every single day. I mean, the joke is, you saw Andujar get 3 hits yesterday. He'll probably be out of the lineup today. Don't want him to get too hot. You know, you don't want him to overheat. Don't want him to dehydrate. So the rest every single day, the rest here. I mean, DJ LeMahieu, they asked him about rest. No, I didn't need a day of rest. And it would be one thing if the resting of guys was keeping guys healthy, right? Like if you could say, yes, it's very frustrating to have your good hitters out of the lineup, but look, our guys are always fresh, ready to go, and they're staying healthy. I mean, the Yankees are kind of a punchline when it comes to health at this point. The other thing that I think, that's the first thing, stop with the rest. The other thing is, the lineup at this point, if you're stopping with the rest, the lineup at this point has to include DJ every day, Torres every day, Frazier every day, Voit, I know he's slumping right now, but Voit every day. And I think the other guy that I would put in there, even though his numbers have not been great, is Andujar. And look, I get it's tough to find a place for him defensively, but I have far more confidence in him finding himself at some point with steady at-bats than I do Tauchman or Gardner or Ford or Wade or Sanchez or Tyro Estrada or whoever else you want to throw in there. I think that the lineup, you got to stop with the rest. You got to put these guys out there. And you know what? If the lineup still doesn't score runs with LeMahieu and Torres and Frazier and Voit and Andujar, well, I guess you aren't as good as you thought you were. And I guess as good as I thought you were, as good as everyone thought you were. And hopefully at some point you get Judge back and you get Stanton back and you can put those guys in there and then the lineup should be scoring some runs. But those are the two things that moving forward, the resting of guys, I mean, it just makes you pull your hair out. It makes you pull your hair out in previous years. Like last year when they're winning 100 games and they're still resting guys, all right, you know, it's kind of tough to criticize when they're winning as many games as they are. But this year, they're not winning that many games, and guys are continuing to get hurt, and you don't have many options, right? Like, you can't put six guys in the lineup. It's one thing to say, well, he's just had this is a weird year, and it's a short season. No, this is it. This is the season. This is the deal. So you have to overcome and put the guys out there every single day that give you the best chance to win. It's not really all that revolutionary. Let's go out to the phones again. 1-800-919-ESPN, 1-800-919-3776. Go out to Spike in Jersey. Spike, what's going on, my man?
Hey, how are you? Good to hear you when the sun's up. I got a problem with the Yankees. I got a real problem.
Just one? That's good. You're better than the crowd right now because I think a lot of us have more than one.
Well, they're going to be set at 0-0. I don't understand something when you go to the right-hand column in the standings and the percentile. Toronto wins last night. The Yankees lose, and Toronto has a better win-loss percentage, and the Yankees have a better percentage of getting into the playoffs. Explain me that, Ricky.
Well, I would think that it's based on the opponents that they still have to play. I'm sure there's a lot of factors that go into it, but I'm assuming it's the remaining schedule and the win-loss record of the schedules of the teams remaining.
Yeah, I thought that too, but the fluidity of that is changing daily. Like, you know, the Yankees are just soiling themselves every day. And
right. You're
right about one thing. They got to keep Andujar. You can't put him like a yo-yo back and forth, Gordon. And keep him in there. Give the kid 100 at-bats. The kid can hit, for God's sakes. What are they...
And look, I understand that like last year, it was a thing where, you know, you had so many guys who were performing well that you didn't want it to go long stretches without somebody playing. So, you know, you move this guy in one day, you move that guy in one day. There's all these changes day in and day out. This year, the Yankees don't have enough guys for the 9 spots in the order for guys who are performing. So I would go with the guy that I know. You know, if he gets regular at-bats, I'm pretty sure at some point Miguel Andujar is going to hit. I have more confidence in him than the other guys.
Yeah, he had the 500 at-bats. Listen, here's the problem with the Yankees. All the guys that performed above expectations last year, they have books on them now. They know where to pitch them now. So it's just a hodgepodge. Get to the postseason and start off 0-0. You go with Cole and Tanaka and take your chances.
Yeah, well, let's hope so. I mean, it will be a very dark postseason if the Yankees are not involved, Spike, and thanks for the call. 1-800-919-ESPN, 1-800-919-3776. So just taking a look at the Yankee schedule. And look, the way the Yankees are playing right now, there are no easy teams. The Yankees are the easy team. And we'll see if this is the day where they get things turned around. But, you know, obviously they get the 3 games against Toronto. Then they get 4 against Baltimore at home. Then they get Toronto again. Then they get 3 against Boston, 4 more against Toronto, and then they get Miami to wrap up the year. So I don't know what Toronto's schedule is. Let me pull it up here quickly if the fates allow. Their schedule, I'll pull it up in the break. 1-800-919, it's taking too long in this stupid Wi-Fi, everything else. All right, let's go back to the phones. 1-800-919-ESPN, 1-800-919-3776. What a transition, huh? Smooth professional broadcast. Omar is in Brooklyn. Omar, my friend, oh, I know you're going to be giddy today. You're going to be happy. Oh, you're going to be laughing when you come in. Yeah, you love it.
Oh, my God.
You've waited years for this day.
The best team just to play the playoffs and... they have won the division. What a great lineup. Sanchez is going nowhere. The thing is,
he is going nowhere. He's going nowhere from the bench.
The Cole, oh, $324 million pitcher. They have the ace. Don't even forget about this. Cole, oh, how great he has been. What a $334 million pitcher. Yankees have 14. Listen, you compete against yourself for pitcher just to make sure. And I wanted it. I love the Rangers, but I'm rooting for Islanders. I don't have a problem rooting when for Joe Girardi, a tough-nosed, hard guy who wanted to teach Sanchez things, and Mr. Manager, your showman, Cashman, wanted his name, his players. He wanted the stamp of his team and everywhere, and fired him for no particular reason. No particular reason. Now, you're getting the fact. Now, every Yankee fan that was defending Sanchez is calling you, and they wanted out Sanchez. If the guy needed to be coached, that's it. You have to be toughened up. You cannot be softed with a player who you think you are already. What did I told you about Porzingis? What did the Knicks do wrong with Porzingis? Nothing. Porzingis was an arrogant guy who has not that six games only. Six games he did. He had a great six-game run before he got injured a little bit. And he was at the Super 7, and he was demanding from the Knicks that a superstar like 10-year veteran was demanding. And people in the media, oh, the Knicks are bad, Knicks are bad, Knicks are bad. There, this guy was arrogant, and look, even he had a good year this year in the playoffs when Dallas needed it, and they are telling in their media cell that 18th overall pick, they're going to get a center. That they can back up Porzingis because he's not reliable in the playoffs. So that
are you having a barbecue today?
And you get him 300 maximum contract. So this New York media trying to defend this player.
What are you doing today, Omar? What's on the schedule? What's on the Omar schedule for today? What's on the Omar schedule for today? Very worked.
Let me. I was so upset.
You get out of town.
Listen. I want, now you should come and on the radio, so you should say that Cashman was wrong on firing Joe Girardi. That's it.
Wait a second, Omar. I said at the time I did not like the move. I wanted Girardi back. All the people who crushed Girardi, Binder Joe, and all this other nonsense, I said at the time I did not want him. Now, I'm not gonna all of a sudden say the Yankee season's over. There's still plenty of games to go, and they're still in fine position.
You're telling me,
but they got to start winning some games.
Oh, you're telling me there's still a hope? There's still a chance?
Oh my gosh! Oh! I mean, Omar, you're Metsies, and Omar, thank you for the call. Omar is able to get more in 3 minutes. I mean, he went Yankees, he went Islanders, he went Porzingis for a good section. What, like 48 for every strikeout? That Gary Sanchez has, 48% of the time Omar's call was about Kristaps Porzingis. So he's able to, he's really able to weave a tapestry on the air. No, of course there's still hope. I mean, the Yankees are still, if the Mets right now were sitting where the Yankees are, you'd be giddy. You'd be ecstatic. It's just that we're not used to watching the Yankees go through this stretch. And look, I'm fair. I'm a big Yankee fan, but I'm not one of these Yankee fans who's just going to paint rosy pictures all the time and tell you everything's great when it's not. There's more than enough Yankee fans on Twitter, on social media, everywhere that will give you the rosy picture all the time. No, the Yankees have been terrible. They got to pick it up. But I'm assuming that at some point they will do that. You know, everyone, even bad teams don't play like this, and the Yankees are better than a bad team. Now, because Omar was so wordy, I was able to find the Toronto schedule, which I was looking for. And Toronto's schedule is, I would say, more difficult. They've got the Yankees, who are terrible right now, but they get the Yankees a bunch. The other teams they play are the Phillies, who have been pretty good, the Mets, who you would think, at least right now, if they could ever have a good week, they would be in playoff contention, and then they get the Orioles. So they only get the Orioles three times, where the Yankees get them a little bit more often. But we've been taking your Labor Day and basically flushing it down the toilet by speaking about the Yankees for the first hour. Sorry about it. I mean, look, you know, you give me what you give me, and I give you what I got, but that's the main story in New York sports right now, is how poorly the Yankees are playing, and hopefully today is a day where they turn it around. Now, the lineup is out. Today's lineup is out, and it includes a shocker. Even despite having the three hits yesterday, Miguel Andujar is in the lineup for another day. He's back, and he had three hits yesterday, and he's not tired. He's not exhausted. He's not worn out. He doesn't need a spell. He doesn't need a breather. He went yesterday, and then he's going to go again today. Move over, Cal Ripken Jr. The Yankees have Miguel Andujar. Back-to-back day. Back-to-back and belly-to-belly, as John Sterling would say. Yeah, and the lineup today, I think, is a much more representative lineup. Now, look, it still includes Wade, but you need somebody to play second because DJ's playing third, so that it is what it is. Like, you don't have nine guys right now who you would say you feel comfortable in the lineup. It's DJ, Voit is batting second, Glaber is playing shortstop, Clint's in right field, Aaron Hicks is the center, Andujar is the DH, Tauchman is in left field, Kratz is the catcher, so Sanchez sits again, which he should, and Wade is batting ninth. So there you go. 1-800-919-ESPN is the phone number. Let's get back to the calls here. We'll go to James is in Spring Valley. James.
Hey, Gordy, I told you before you need to ban Omar from calling. This
Why
guy...
is that? I see, I find Omar a very entertaining call. Why do you not like Omar?
Because he talks out of his you-know-what, and he says things that
well,
make absolutely no...
that's not against the rules. That's not against the rules in sports talk radio, buddy. I
understand,
hate to break it to you, James.
But he makes no sense. But anyways, as a Yankee fan myself, it's seeing the Yankees struggle and being almost 30, it's weird because when I see them, when I think Yankees, I think of, you know, success. But it's weird. But I see a lot of Yankee Twitter talk saying that Boone should be fired. Boone needs to get fired. I think it's unfair to fire Boone given the circumstances, but do you think it's fair that rather the Yankees are going to make the playoffs, but say the Yankees, like, you know, either losing the best of three or losing the best of five, is it fair for Boone to be under fire and him, and not only him, but Cashman too? Because I think that's really unfair.
I don't think that they will fire. I mean, unless this season ends in just unmitigated disaster. An unmitigated disaster to me is not making the playoffs and continuing to play like this. I don't even know then that the Yankees or really any team in a, you know, farce of a season, a 60-game season, that they're going to make any hard and fast judgments based on that, right? Like, coming into the year, not that you've had great success in the playoffs with Aaron Boone, but I never felt like his job was on the hot seat. What I will say, though, and it's fair, James, about firing him or this or that, you cannot say at this point that Aaron Boone has been some major improvement over Joe Girardi. Like,
even the
back-to-back seasons, if you had a time machine, and I think a lot of Yankee fans didn't want to make the move at the time, they made it, and things, you know, not that they've gone in the toilet, but this year has been terrible, and I just think that they would have been better off just staying with Joe Girardi at this point.
I agree. I just think it's just unfair for every Yankee Twitter people who don't have a clear view of the team thinking, oh, my God, this is the worst thing. And, like, they wouldn't survive the 1980s. They would not survive when the Yankees were dreadful. I think the Yankees, they're going to make the playoffs. If and when Judge and Stanton comes back, and that remains to be seen, then see what happens. The only way I could see Boone getting fired is if next year, when if it's like so god awful that's evident, then I would say make a change. But I truly think that any Yankee fan that wants Boone or Cashman fired needs to, like, not have a sports opinion at all.
All right. Well, look, James. I agree with you, and thanks for the call. At the end of the day, this is not Aaron Boone's team as much as it is Brian Cashman's team. I mean, Brian Cashman has done all the things that, you know, get the criticism, and he gets all the success as well. And the Yankees have been a good team. They've not won since 2009, but they've been in it really since kind of the reboot. What was that, 2016? You know, it seems like they've been very, very close and remaking the farm system and getting some of the young players in here. But this is all, you know, this is Brian Cashman's team. I mean, he's the guy who went out. I don't think that many people would have made the move away from Joe Girardi after, you know, getting as close to the World Series as they did that year and coming to within, you know, Game 7 against the Astros. But they did, and this is his decision. So all these things, you know, the reliance on analytics, the reliance on resting these guys day in and day out, I do think that Brian Cashman sometimes is unfairly criticized, especially considering the level of success his team has had as opposed to other teams in this town have had. But no, this is his team. There's no other way about it. So I don't really know day in and day out. Like, the reason why Aaron Boone got the job that he did was because I think he was very willing to collaborate with the front office. So I'm sure that there's criticisms that Boone is taking that may not be his decision. I don't know in terms of lineup, in terms of resting guys, which decisions are his, which are the front office. I can say this, the idea that bringing in Aaron Boone and that his approach, that his personality, that his demeanor was going to unlock the potential of the young Yankee stars, I don't think that that has turned out to be the case. And it certainly has not turned out to be the case with Gary Sanchez. I mean, Gary Sanchez now is going to put up almost certainly his two worst seasons by far as a professional player with Aaron Boone as the manager. 2018, he was abysmal, and this year he's been even worse. There's no other way to put it. Brian is in Manhattan. Brian, go, my friend.
Hey, Gordon, how are you? Let me ask you a question. Since you're replacing three guys in the booth, are you getting paid as if you're three people?
I don't believe so. I'm just happy I'm getting paid as one person, Brian. That's all I'm looking for.
So two things. One is Omar, you know, after he did his riff about Sanchez and coaching and he mentioned Porzingis, I thought for sure he was going to say that Rick Carlisle was getting more out of Porzingis than the Knicks match, but of course I was wrong. Lastly, I don't want to put a pail on your show, but I'm not a Yankee fan. I don't wish them badly. I'm a Mets fan. But to me, this week has been all about Tom Seaver. And I'm an older guy. I'm older than you, Gordon. And Tom Seaver was not just a baseball player. He was more than that. And now, I think a lot of people think he was a Met forever. And obviously he wasn't. He was on the Reds. He was on the White Sox. He played for the Red Sox. But there's something about his death that seems much bigger. And Lou Brock died yesterday, and I'm not from St. Louis, but Seaver, there was just something about him, Gordon. I was wondering, I don't know how old you are, but I'm guessing you were not.
I was not old enough, Brian, to have seen him at his peak with the Mets. I remember him, you know, kind of with the Reds, and I vaguely kind of remember the hullabaloo when he got dealt to the Reds. So, I don't remember him at his peak. To be honest with you, my best recollection of him is as a Yankee fan in the booth with Phil Rizzuto because they were just so fun every single day. It seemed like they just had the time of their lives broadcasting games.
He was, he pitched so many innings. He had so many strikeouts. He was really never injured. He just was warrior is a terrible term for a baseball player, but he was all those things. And I just have to tell you, it's been a rough week. And I didn't think that I would feel this way about, someone that I didn't really know him.
Right. Look, Brian, we're up against the clock here, so I got to let you go. No, look, that's perfectly, I'm assuming, and I probably should have asked him this before I let him go, that's the guy, you never forget your first love, right? And for many Met fans, and I would think probably Tom Seaver is responsible for more Met fans becoming Met fans than probably any other player in franchise history. So, and I'm not just speaking directly in terms of them becoming fans, but their kids, their grandkids. So, anytime that it can be any age you want, when the guy that you grew up rooting for and then the first guy you grew up rooting for passes away, it's going to be a very sad time. And for that, for Met fans, this was, this past week was that week.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.